The issue is that, unfortunately, I hear time and again the lack of a sense of context to what the whole Yahadus is about. The first time I heard it was many years ago at an Arachim seminar that we did. I've mentioned this, that there was a young couple that came, not because they weren't religious, but because they had suffered a personal tragedy, and friends told them maybe they'll get chizuk from this experience. This guy gets up at the symposium at the end where the participants speak, and he says, I learned in the finest yeshivas, and I learned this and that, and you know, everything, he listed everything he learned. He says, but I never had a context with which to appreciate what it was all about, where it's coming from, where it's going to, what's happening. And he says, this seminar gave him a context, and literally it changed his life. Someone made a comment to me today, which I thought was so telling that I wanted to talk about it a little bit. And that was that a person at a traumatic moment in his life says he took a couple of small steps away from Yiddishkeit. You know, he was distraught, he was broken, he was in pain, whatever it may have been, and took a little bit, you know, a few steps away. He says, but then he wanted to come back. And he says he turned around and he couldn't find a door to come back. There was nothing to come back to. He didn't have any foundation. He realized at that moment, for the first time in his life, that he was just going with the flow. And he was doing what he was doing because everybody was doing it, and that's what his parents expected of him, and that's what the schools demanded of him, and that's what his friends were also doing. And he says, but he turned around. I mean, dramatically, he said it to me. He says, I couldn't find a door to enter. I couldn't find, it's almost as if he would have found a door, he would have opened the door and then just fallen into the abyss because there was nothing there. And I thought this was a very dramatic but telling expression of what really a major problem that we have in the world of chinuch that's relevant to any adult that is attempting in any way whatsoever, parent, teacher, whatever, to be machanech younger people. And that basically is that most of us start in the middle. They could really blame it. They could really blame it on Rashi, you know, at the beginning of Chumash. Says, really, the Torah should have started with Achish HaZelochem Rish Chadoshim. But you had to teach us Koyach Amo Higi La'amov, Bereshis, and if they have a Tain on Eretz Yisroel, so we know Hashem created the world. So they say, oh, really, we should have started in the middle. But they start in the middle. We start learning, and there's virtually no or very, very little discussion of the following topics. Hashem. So many people feel that the whole idea of Hashem is so... Hashem, we mentioned the name Hashem. The name of who? What does that name represent? Do we talk about his attributes? Do we, at an early stage, and maybe we do, some do and some don't, but if we don't, it's tragic. Let them know. Rachum v'chanun, erech hapayim, rav chesed v'emes, noitza chesed v'alofim, v'chulei v'chulei. And all of the hashkocha protis and everything that he does, this searing in their young minds a concept and a positive concept of who this Hashem is. Otherwise it remains as vague as, well, it is vague unless you have attributes, because the only thing that we can grip or grasp or know about Hashem is the way he conducts himself in this world. So that's minimal, if anything, attention. the purpose of creation. Many people feel, I remember, that in a 12th grade class, the Rebbe was very choshev Talmud Chochem. He taught the Derech Hashem, and like, wow, there's a purpose for, like, it never even dawned on me, like, is there a purpose? What's the purpose? Should there be a purpose? Just the concept of, you know, Derech Hashem cannot be taught in kindergarten, that's true. But this concept of Bereishis and Bishvil Reishis and Bishvil Klal Yisroel and Bishvil Shisroel Shisasku Batoiro and Bishvil Dveikus Bashem and Bishvil Chesed Oilam Chesed Yibone and everything that we find in Chazal and in the Sforim about Hashem's creation of the world with a purpose and with goals and with any word you use is inappropriate, but kaviyocho, with a desire, lehetiv, with a desire to be meitiv and to shower us with chesed. I mean, this is aleph beis, and this is part of a concept of Hashem, and this is part of a context of what life is all about and what we're doing here on this world. If a kid grows up in yeshiva and starts to learn chumash, stories about the past, and halachas about how he should conduct himself, and then he goes on to learn Mishnayos and Gemara, and he's learning more halachas and more intricacies and more things. And there, the aside of the welt, the world stands on the Torah. If not the imloy brisi yom of alayla chuka shemayim v'aretz leisamti, the world would implode in a moment if there wasn't Torah being learned all over the world. But the problem is that if I don't have that sense of what's it all about, what's the goal, where does it come from, and where is it supposed to take me? And unfortunately, it's very, very difficult. I was dealing with a certain problem, and this individual who said he didn't know anything about these things, and when his children asked him, what am I supposed to do? Like, why am I supposed to learn? And what's the goal? And what am I supposed to accomplish? And his answer was, you're supposed to do the best you can. And he thought he was just giving almost a cop out, almost an ignorant answer, almost less brayer with the lack of anything else. And he didn't realize that's a major concept. I remember, and it was such a, I mean, it came a little late, but that's not the Rosh Hashiva's fault. I remember my first conversation with the Rosh Hashiva. Must have been around 16 years old, and we took a walk from Kessel Street down 68th Avenue, and he says that the Bali Musa looked at this world as a laboratory. Everybody is given raw materials. Everybody is given his own raw materials. Each one is different. His own genetics, his own kichas hanefesh, his own circumstances, his own challenges, his own surroundings, you know, life's circumstances. And his job is to take those raw materials that he's given in this laboratory of life and make them into the best possible creation, the best possible human being that he could make himself into. Such a beautiful concept. Such a basic concept. Basically, Mashetucha laseva libcha lashamayim, how Rashi in Kohelis at the end on Seif Dovra Kol Nishma defines Yira Shamayim. Eselikim Yiro, Mashetucha laseva libcha lashamayim. I do the best I can with the circumstances, with the kishroinus, with the koichus, with the sensitivities, with the circumstances I was given. And I try to do even better and better, but this is what life is all about. But when they don't have that concept, so they don't have a context. And, like, what's the point of the whole thing? Then a person told me, an interesting thing. He said, his children asked him, he said, why do we have to learn? Why the emphasis on learning? So this man, who considers himself not a scholar, and maybe not even so pious, he said, look around. Look at your grandfather, look at your uncles, look at your cousins. He said, oh, mishpocha of Torah, people learning, he says. And you get that sense of an elite group of people, a b'nei aliyah, people that are striving to grow and to improve themselves. And that's the answer that he was able to give him. And I told him, and forgive me, but I can't resist to say so. I told him, you gave a good answer, and it's a good thing. And he gave an emotional answer, right? Obviously, that's an emotional answer. Look around and see the beauty of the lives of these people. And he has a beautiful, I know a little bit of his family. And I said, it's a good thing you didn't say, why don't you go ask, I can't even bring myself to say it, but why don't you ask people who, you know, rabbonim, let's say, rabbis. And because, unfortunately, what we hear today is that the even most advanced, not distinguished, but the most, you know, people, real products of the yeshiva system, they may even be teaching today, but that question is so difficult to articulate. But unless we can articulate that, then we need an emotional answer, because intellectually, if we can't, like, then there is no real context. The emotional answer can help for a while. Emotions don't permanently resolve problems. But there has to be, what is this all, what am I going? So creation and a purpose for creation has to be understood. The shalshelis that exists between creation and Noach and Avram Avinu and Maimon Har Sinai also has to be understood, because, like, what happened? What happened to the original plan? And all of these things are discussed in the Sforim, the Derech Hashem and others. And what was the original plan? What happened? The decadence that ensued after the leaving of Gan Eden, and Noach elevating it again after, and then going down again until one Avram Avinu came along and reintroduced the world to the one God and began the process, which eventually culminated in a Yetzias Mitzrayim, which forged a nation that was going to be capable and ready and willing and dedicated to accept the Torah at Har Sinai and to preserve the Derech Hashem for the world until that time when it'll be Olam Moshiach Bahar Tzion Lishpet Esar Esav V'Hoya Hashem LeMelech Al Kol HaOretz, until the Mashiach will come. And until that time, so Klal Yisrael has a mission. We talk about Am Skula. Very important to learn the Sipurnu. Sipurnu says, V'yisem li skula mikolo ami, uvoze atem skula li, liyois mamleches koyhanim, lohovin ulohoirois leminho enoishi, likre b'shem Hashem. The skula mikolo amim is to teach mankind to call the name of Hashem, is to preserve the discovery, kaviyochol, so to speak, I guess, that Avram Avinu ke'ilu discovered Hashem. I mean, he did, you know, ben sholosh shonim hikir es boiroi, and that culminated in the Nisim of Mitzrayim and in the Maimon Har Sinai, and to be able to pass that on to the world. And the truth of the matter is, no matter how and whether it was intended or not intended, everything in this world, the vast majority of civilization, the morality is based upon the Bible. And they talk about that. They talk about the Judeo-Christian ethic. Judeo-Christian because Judeo came first. So I mean, this sense of scope, this sense of, you know, and if without that, it's in a vacuum. And it's worse than that. Without rational information to understand what I'm doing, where it's coming from, on what authority, and on whose authority, and who is the authority that is so authorizing this directive. For example, the Torah itself says, Kol ha-machla she-samti b'Mitzrayim l'osim alecho, ki ani Hashem roif-echo. The doctor. The doctor. He's a doctor. He has the bona fides of a roife mumcha. And memela, I follow his directives. But I have to know that. I have to understand that these are directives. I have to understand that these are directives from the doctor. I have to understand that these are directives from the doctor to benefit myself. These are all necessary ingredients for a person to be motivated, for a person to desire, for a person to have a sense, and for a person to make a decision. The go with the flow is not a decision. In fact, it's not even emotional. The go with the flow is begeder misasik. I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even realize I'm doing. Many people have articulated and said, I woke up one day and realized that I'm very religious and I ain't got no clue why. What am I doing here? I never decided to be here. I never chose to be here. I never wanted to be here. I just found myself here when I woke up from this sweep, this movement, this flow. And it's a very, and even if people don't feel this way and they keep going, but the going is not solid unless the foundation is solid. And unfortunately, we find today too many people that when something is shaken up in their lives, a tragedy, a trauma, an epiphany, something happens, whatever it may be, and all of a sudden, there's no foundation there, and they start drifting. And as my friend put it in what I think is such a beautiful and dramatic expression, and they turn around and they want to come back, and they don't find an open door, or they don't find a door, or they find an abysmal depth that they could just walk into because they never had that foundation to begin with. So I think that talking about foundation, talking about the concepts, not asking for questions to make questions, but giving answers before there are questions, explaining the basics. I think it seems to me that every machanech should be fluent in the Derech Hashem, just the basic concepts that he elucidates over there, and every machanech has to be able to articulate the basic ma'amorei chazal and the basic psukim and pirushim of Briya Se'olam, and Hashem created the world, and Hashem created with mishpot and with chesed and with rachamim is a shutaf with the mishpot and all of these things. It gives it a context. And what's my goal? And what am I supposed to accomplish? And how am I supposed to get there? And this is all like, it's so critical. And the truth of the matter is that without Musar, a major piece of this will never come to fruition, even if they're given the information. Because Musa says, let's take this sense of why we were created, what our tachlis is, what the goal is, how we're supposed to get there, and let's work on it. Because without working on it, so then it's academic. So academic is at least a foundation, but academics rust and get an atrophy unless there's work keeping it going. We keep it moving. We keep it growing. We're working on it. Mashatuchal say, v'libchol ha-shamayim. We don't leave the laboratory, as the Rosh Hashiva put it, until the last day of our lives. And we're constantly striving to improve and to grow and to refine our character. Lo'initno ha-mitzvahs chazal say, ele le'tzareth benes abriyos. The whole purpose of the mitzvahs was only to refine our character. I want every opportunity to refine, more refine. Remove the impurities, remove the shortcomings, remove the callousness, remove the achzorius, remove the selfishness, remove the gaiva, remove the kas, refine the character. This is what it's all about. And this is context, and this is living in that context, in the process of growing and improving. And without these things, it's Shemu Shomayim, Hashem Yirachim. Like, how can we, what's it all about? What am I doing? Now, if I enjoy what I'm doing, makes it a lot easier. You know, intellectually, people enjoy the learning. That's beautiful. But that's enjoyment is once, you know, when you have to measure enjoyment against enjoyment, sometimes there's, but when you measure life and background and purpose and benefit and meaning and refinement and development, that takes on a whole different perspective. But these perspectives have to be shared. Then I think there's another piece of context which is also very, very critical. And it's also a context that's not too often accentuated. Most people, for some reason today, accentuate the fact that their observance is more based on fear than anything else. Now, this may have been, and it was in a certain kufa, appropriate when there was a real base of appreciation of the Yadus. There was emuna pshuta. There was a sense of a world surrounding them with tzaddikim and gedulim and piety and godless in learning, and the exposure that they had. The little girl who brought the chicken to Reb Chaim Briska, who couldn't paskin on it, he had to give it to his gabbai, Reb Simcha Zelig, his abezdin, because he didn't was a, you know, spent 45 minutes trying to think about all that stood him, and then he finally decided it was too schwer to paskin on. But imagine you saw people like that. You dealt with people like that. The world already has a context. You see, they once asked a bavusta kanoi in Yerushalayim that he chepped with anybody with any shaychus to the government establishment, and with Reb Hirsch Pesach Frank, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim, he never bothered with him. So he asked him, how come you don't torture him? You know, he's also shaykhus to the government, you know, this kanoi. So he says to him, he says, I used to be his neighbor, and I once overheard a conversation between him and his wife. His wife said that, she says to him, we don't have enough money to buy the candles that we need, that you should be able to sit up and learn the whole night, because, you know, they didn't have electricity, and we don't have enough money to buy for the winter the candles that you need, and you're not going to be able to learn late into the night or whatever he did. So he says, no problem. He says, we have two big iron beds. This is what the story they tell. We'll sell one of them, and we'll buy the candles, and you'll sleep a little bit part of the night, and I'll sleep part of the night, and that's how we'll manage. So this kanui says, Ich chepe no mit Menschen, nicht mit Malochim. I start up with people. I don't start up. I don't pick on angels. The people, if what?
The Malach holds fakir from him.
What's that? The
Malach holds fakir from him. The Malach holds fakir from him, so he's stopped up. The Malach, Mr. Rezavai, doesn't hold of his shita.
He should listen to the Malach.
I didn't get it.
If the Malach holds that his shita is wrong, he should be mevater on his shita. The kanoi, he should realize he's mistaken.
Kashif a Maisa. Anyway, Kashif a Kanoi. Okay, anyway. Well, Lamaisa, that's it. So people like this. So in those days, maybe Yiro, you know, when you see this and there's such Avas Hashem and you're surrounded by it, so maybe we need a little more Yiro to get us moving. Today we don't see that. And today we're made of tissue paper to cobwebs. I'm not sure if there's anything more delicate than cobwebs, and maybe that's us. And the Yira is not going to do the job for many people. It's ki imcha haslicha l'man tivore. Unless we know about the slicha, then the fear becomes overwhelming, as the Ramban learns, and then we run away. We can't take it. We need to know about ahava. We need to be taught, we need to convey, we need to focus on how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael, each and every member of Klal Yisrael. And in the worst of matzovim, vayt, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in love with those koiches hanefesh, with those midas, with that inner Bunim atem l'Hashem elokeichem, with the godless of that selam elokim that we have. And that has to be, we must be aware of that, because without being aware of that, everything also becomes such a burden, and it's so overwhelming. And even if we get a sense of context, we can't maintain that context unless we know to what extent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has love for us. And in order to just flesh this out to the next level too, critical to this is, as we continue with this context, we also have to have a sense of the things that we do and the benefit that they have in general for us, and the benefits that they have in refining our character and helping us to fulfill the ultimate purpose. Even if we have context, and even if we know the ultimate purpose, but if we feel that I'm now going through a lot of motions and I don't see what the motion has to do with the purpose and the context, that can also be very, very confusing. So it's very important also to be able to relate the emotions that we go through and all of the halachas and everything, to relate it to how that's part of the fulfillment of the context. One of the things that many people have trouble with was many of the dinim derabbanan. Some of them, to some people, to the less initiated, seem arbitrary. And a phrase that I coined this phrase many years ago, I don't know if anyone else ever used it, but I says there's no such thing as gzeiras hakosuv miderabbanan. Every halacha, every diktuk hadin, except there are certain things that are mikabola, but if you explain everything until you come to the Kabbalah things, you won't have a problem either, because whatever it is a small amount. In our, most of our halachas come from Chazal, from Gemara, and even when there's a stira between Kabbalah and Gemara, we follow the Nigla rather than the Nista in general. So, but this sense of there's no such thing as Gzeiras HaKosuv Derabbanan. Every diktuk, every nakuda, every gzeira, every siyog, every maneuver that the Chachomim instituted, all is b'seichel, understanding the depths of human nature, the depths of human psychology, and all with a very, very rational purpose. If not, they didn't have the right to institute things without a purpose. The Torah has a right to chukim, and if you study the Sefer Achinuch, you'll find out that he gives kimat, even more than kimat, in everything, even reasons for chukim. But that's chukim. Kodesh Baruch Hu can make chukim without a reason that's comprehensible. But everything else, and if we can't articulate these reasons, it means we don't know the sugya well enough. If we can't explain the gzeiros and the takonis, that means we didn't learn the sugya well enough to be able to understand it. But that creates a whole sense of I know what I'm doing, and it's all part of a major purpose, and there's a past, and there's a present, and there's a future, and there's a goal, and there's responsibilities, and it takes on a whole different sense of appreciation for what life is all about and what my tachlis is, and it creates a product that's so much stronger and capable of withstanding and weathering the storms and the torment and torture and trials and tribulations that unfortunately everybody ends up, or most people end up facing in life, and oftentimes can be very, very, very damaging.